Flawn Williams, who's been doing the wonderful sound here tonight, is tape recording the concerts. Well, I'll tell you what, hold your applause, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But let me make this little plug here. Flawn Williams is tape recording the concerts, and the samplers, which he is making, which is going to include excerpts from all the concerts, will be available to be ordered, and you can do that out at the store after the concert, because after you went out and bought all those records and tapes and CDs, you probably overlooked the sampler order forms out there. And they're wonderful. Those that bought the tapes last year, I love them universally, and they're gone because they're limited edition. Once the initial run has been depleted, that will be no more. And this year, the concert tapes are broken down to one tape covering weeks 1 and 2, another tape covering weeks 3 and 4, and a third tape covering week 5 and the Augusta Festival, which has 3 concerts that week. So please order your tapes. You will regret it if you do not. And speaking of taping, Steve Turner, the gentleman down front who's getting all this stuff on his magnificent video camera and has probably caught you at your most embarrassing moment, whether you know it or not, is releasing yet another series of Augusta video samplers, souvenir tapes. And again, those that ordered them last year love them. They're wonderful tapes. Steve did 2 weeks last year, weeks 3 and 4, and he's doing 3 weeks this year, the first 3 weeks. He will be leaving us, alas, tomorrow, so you won't see him around if you're here next week. But those sampler tapes are wonderful. I produced the Micanopy Music and Dance Camp in Florida, and Steve came down and videotaped it, and again, the results were stunning. So this year's Augusta tapes should be the most wonderful things that people have ever screwed their eyeballs into their TV set to view. So with those in mind, remember to get those tapes outside and not inside here on your own. And let's go on with the second half of the concert. Another class this year, this week, that has been very nice, in fact, those of you that were at the Craft Showcase last night might have seen this class. They came and performed. The fiddle class, the advanced fiddle class, taught by Pete Sutherland and assisted by John Singleton. I happened to jam with some of these people last night, too, late. Everybody knows that we all go to bed at midnight here, but it was sometime after that, I guess. But these folks have been playing wonderful fiddle music in the chapel every day this week, and hopefully some of you have stopped in and heard it or heard them last night. But Pete Sutherland is a person that I've admired for many years. Most of you have heard of the Arm & Hammer String Band, which he was in some years ago, kind of a landmark revival band. He's been performing with Metamora, the old Metamora, and now the new Metamora. And he performs with his wife, Karen Billings, which he will also tonight, and with a number of other musicians. But it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the stage Pete Sutherland.
Thanks. This is going to be a dance-free set. Thank you. I'd like to sing one with you. So you've been patiently sitting there watching people's feet all evening. I can watch each other's vocal cords maybe on this one. You've heard this tune before, and you've probably sung this chorus before. Kind of rebuilt this song on top of a very old song. It was early one morning in the month of May. Oh, the wind and rain. Two lovers went fishing on a hot summer's day, crying the dreadful wind and rain. From the piney wood shore of a northern lake, oh, the wind and rain, it's straight for the fishing ground they did make, crying the dreadful wind and rain. Oh, love, how can it be? Oh, the wind and rain, that we have yet one fish to see, crying the dreadful wind and rain. For our bait is fresh and the weather is fine. Oh, the wind and rain, yet not one bite disturbs our line, crying the dreadful wind and rain. And it's three full years since we've been here. Oh, the wind and rain, yet this lake, it's never seemed more clear, crying the dreadful wind and rain. Ah, listen well, my sweetheart dear, oh, the wind and rain, this sad tale I did lately hear, crying the dreadful wind and rain, that the answer lies in the days of old. Oh, the wind and rain, when the bones of the earth got turned to coal, crying the dreadful wind and rain. And they dug that coal from the mountain ground. Oh, the wind and rain, and they hauled it up to a Great Lakes town, crying the dreadful wind and rain. For the factories there, they needed coal. Oh, the wind and rain, to make power and light for a million souls, crying the dreadful wind and rain. But the smoke that poured from the stacks so high, oh, the wind and rain, it scattered poisons to the sky, crying the dreadful wind and rain. And its Midwest winds blow high and strong. Oh, the wind and rain, it's far to the east they blow along, crying the dreadful wind and rain. and it's rain clouds born on the western wind. Oh, the wind and rain, I fear these fishes' doom have been, crying the dreadful wind and rain. Oh, yes, I see, the lover replied, oh, the wind and rain, how the trees from the tops on down have died, crying the dreadful wind and rain. And the soil that will not yield a crop, oh, the wind and rain, pray tell to me, where does it stop, crying the dreadful wind and rain. For our lives must follow the water's flow, oh, the wind and rain, and we must reap just as we sow, crying the dreadful wind and rain. And it was early one morning in the month of May, oh, the wind and rain, two lovers went fishing on a hot summer's day, crying the dreadful wind and rain.
I'd like to call out to my very good friend, singing partner, and favorite person to be around, my wife, Karen Billings. We're going to do an old blues song that we learned from some old blues men named Greg and Jerry Canote, the Small Wonder String Band.
Talk about you, your brother and your sister too. No matter how you try to live, they'll talk about you still. Bear this in mind, a good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Don't mind people grinning in your face. A good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? They'll jump you up and down, they'll spin you all around, and just when your back is turned, they will throw you to the ground. Bear this in mind, a good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Don't mind people grinning in your face. People bear this in mind, a good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? And sing and play.
Oh, yeah.
You can fool around all day. In the middle of your fun, someone will turn and walk away.
Bear this in mind, a good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face?
Don't mind people grinning in your face.
For crying out loud, is that you?
Is it yourself?
I thought you were here week two. I'll see you at
the
ice house tonight. Have a nice day.
Bear this in mind, a good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face?
Of love songs now.
Pete wrote the first one for me, and I wrote the second one much later for him.
Or the other way around?
No, I think you were first.
I wrote the second one first.
You wrote the second one. I wrote the first one second.
Right, that's it.
That's what counts, right? was just clogging out back. Pete said no dancing on his set, so... Who knows? There's still time.
Come in the evening, come in the morning, come when you're looked for, and come without warning. Kisses and welcome will be here before you, and the oftener you come here, the more I'll adore you. Happy was my heart from the moment that I met you. Never will the day come when I can forget you. Happy is my heart when you say that you love. Shine from above me. Come in the evening, come in the morning, come when you're looked for, and come without warning. Kisses and welcome will be before you, and the oftener you come here, the more I'll adore you.
You turn your beautiful face my way, and I felt it dawning on me. Your love had been growing since the day you were born, patiently waiting for me. You were the one with kisses so deep, or promises made so freely, and I could have loved loved me. Yes, I could have loved anyone else in this world, but you were the one who loved me. You were the one who loved me.
I'd like to welcome out a couple of friends here, Tim Britton on the Ilian pipes and John Herman on the banjo. Part of the Augusta experience is to try to put new things together. Sometimes it's not to try to put things together, it's to try not to put things together, but in this case, I think they go together rather well. I have this odd theory that perhaps there was one Ilian piper that came over from Ireland with all those fiddlers to settle the low part of this country a couple centuries ago. The last piper. So we're going to play a West Virginia tune and then a Kentucky tune. First tune is a Melvin Wine tune called Sal, Won't You Marry Me? And then Tim joins us on Stumptown Dolly, a Bill Stepp tune. Thank you. Britt and John Herman. I, too, would like to take the opportunity to thank all the Augusta folks for having me back for the sixth or seventh straight year, and it's always a real pleasure. I look forward to it for the whole year ahead of time. And I also want to thank my assistant, John Singleton, who's out there somewhere, who worked really, really hard for me this week. Really hard. And all my beloved students who met in the chapel every day in Boeing 707, you did a great job as well. For my last number here, I assembled a group of some of Augusta's finest for the week. Tim will be playing, and Jimmy Keen playing the accordion, and Eileen and Lisa, who you'll see or have seen in other forms tonight. They're back there. They could come on out, I think. Hopefully they're back there. We're going to play a piece that I wrote about a month and a half ago or so. I have been living for the last 6 years in southern Indiana, in Bloomington, Indiana. And just south of us, there's a park called the Spring Mill Park. It's a state park now, but it's kind of a nature area and also a historic preservation area. And the ranger there, Andy Evans, was a music and dance buff and a great supporter of such in southern Indiana, where there really isn't a whole lot, and a Highland piper and flute player and so forth, too. And he was killed in an accident this spring, unfortunately, and really was just beginning his work there in the park in so many ways. So I wrote this tune in memory of him, and it's kind of inspired directly. I don't know what you believe about the afterlife or where the soul is at various stages after death, but I felt like his was definitely hovering in the air for a couple of days afterwards, long enough to collaborate with me on this piece here. So we'll try it for you. It's called Spring Mill. Thank you.
Let's give Pete and the whole group one more hand. They deserve it. Well, it's kind of an anniversary, you see, and an event happened here a year ago, this concert, week three, Friday night, that I feel I have to relate to you. And the way it came about was last week, Robin Kessinger was here, and a lot of folks have seen Robin Kessinger. A lot of you out here probably have. He's a wonderful flatbit guitar player that lives in West Virginia. And if you've ever seen Robin's guitar case, it's kind of an interesting case. It has so many stickers on it from festivals and all this sort of thing that you have to look for a couple of minutes to determine what the actual color of the case was. It's pretty festooned. And looking at that case and pondering on that and thinking about this event that I'm going to relate to you that happened a year ago, so this is the anniversary of it, it has to do with why someone puts so many stickers on their instrument case. I mean, everyone, sometimes you see a little sticker that says Veterans Memorial Park for those that go to Mount Airy, or Galax, or all the other things that we do. And I thought about that. So I'm going to relate this event because I think this will answer the question as why this would happen. 1 year ago today, approximately, on this Friday night concert, one of our staff members, who shall remain nameless to protect the embarrassment quotient, was up here on stage, had his guitar with him, and it was a wonderful concert, as this one is. And after the concert was over, everyone trooped over to the boiler house for the dance. We didn't have the privilege of dancing on the cabin floor. But while we were at the boiler house, there was a hot southern dance band playing. In fact, it was a big jam. There was a lot of people playing, and so numerous musicians joined in the fray. A friend of mine from Florida happened to be up here that week, and he had his guitar over, and I had mandolin guitar, and we all played a while. Later on, the dance changed and the sets changed, and we decided we wanted to walk up to the ice house and catch some of the jamming that was going on. And my friend had to leave at 5 a.m. Saturday morning. Some of you may be in that same position, and some of you may make the same decision he did, which was that he wasn't going to go to sleep. He figured it'd be hard to wake up, so he decided he'd stay up. We went, well, I see some recognition out there for that. Well, that night, we went to the ice house, and there was a particularly hot jam. I remember Eileen Ivers, Lisa Ornstein, Joni Madden, Natalie McMaster, a lot of other people. It was a very hot jam. And we watched for a while, and we went back to my room in the dorm, and my friend had decided he was going to leave his instruments in my room because I was lucky enough that year to have a ground floor room, which I'm not this year. But he had a third floor room, so he stuck his instruments in my room. We went back to the ice house, caught some more jams. I wound up going to bed as I had to work on Saturday morning. That's one of the terrible things about being on staff up here sometimes. So at some point, he came in and got his instruments and got his ride to Florida, and he was gone. And that was Saturday morning, so I got up and did my thing on Saturday. Sunday afternoon, I'm walking down to the campus center for registration, and this staff person, this nameless staff person, comes to me as I'm coming in the door, and he says, Bill, he says, have you seen my guitar? I said, no. Should I have known where it was? And he said, well, I took it to the boiler house Friday night after the concert, and I haven't really remembered anything about the guitar since then. I hadn't thought about it at all. So here it is a day and a half later, and I said, well, that's kind of interesting. I says, have you been to the boiler house to look? And he said, yeah. He says, there's a guitar there, but it's not mine. And he didn't know what to make of that. So I said, well, let's go look. So we drive over to the boiler house and unlock the door, and it's dark, and we find the lights. Sure enough, there's a black guitar case sitting there. Not a sticker on it, no markings whatsoever. Ominous. We walk over, unlatch the case, open the case, and there's a guitar that I recognize, for it belonged to my friend that's gone to Florida. And I said, well, you know, there's a good theory with this. If this guitar's here and my friend went to Florida, I bet you he's got your guitar. And after the immediate panic died down, I told him that my friend was trustworthy and such. So I went back to the office, got on the telephone. My friend had since gotten to Florida, and we conversed for a few minutes. And I said, would you go look at your guitar? He didn't question this. But a minute or so later, he comes back and he goes, "Who in the hell's guitar is this? Where's my guitar?" And I had to tell him the same story. So as serendipity would have it, a week later, another friend of ours from Florida came up here, brought this nameless staff person's guitar back, and another person took the Florida guitar back to Florida. So all turned out well. But the rule of thumb here is, and I've done this very fastidiously since this event happened, I would recommend you get the bizarre sticker, most bizarre stickers you can find, and label your cases, because at night they can be hard to find. So there is a moral in this. Please remember this. Now, moving right along here as we've got our set changed, it gives me great pleasure to bring out the final act tonight. This is the French Canadian set. I think we've all been waiting for this. Three people that have really touched probably most people here since they've been coming here. Stephane Landry, Normand Legault, and Lisa Ornstein. They were the French Canadian contingent, I think, for the past couple of years. And they taught step dance and French Canadian fiddle. And Stephane Landry, he tells me, went to France when he was 12 years old for the accordion competition and won silver medal. I think those folks here would say probably he should win a gold medal for what he's been doing here. His accordion playing is wonderful. And Normand Legault has been researching dancers, traditional dancers and musicians in Canada and Quebec for a number of years at Laval University, I think since about 1970, and has been a dancer and a musician himself for a long time. I'm told he's a party animal, so those of you who can catch him at the Ice House tonight probably would be beneficial to do so. And Lisa Ornstein, not a native Canadian, comes to French Canada from the Midwestern United States. And again, there's some hidden talents here. Lisa is a wonderful old-time player and amazed a lot of people in this part of the country 10 or 12 years ago. She went to Canada in 1978 for a year, has been there ever since, and has learned the wonderful French-Canadian music style. She tells me she's easy but not cheap. Let's welcome Lisa Ornstein, Stephane Landry, Normand Legault.